interesting times. Rumors, conspiracy theories, they say things like, we gotta take him out. 8647. You've released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
Liberals live in the world the way they wish it was. Conservatives live in the world the way it actually is. I've often said that three people saved the world: Bibi Netanyahu, Donald Trump, and frankly, Elon Musk. Because I think if Elon had not bought X, I think our ability to communicate openly and freely would have ended. So I think Donald Trump in general, I think Bibi for what he's done in Israel, and I think Elon for buying X and allowing free speech to continue in this world, I think those three people will go down in history of having made a huge, huge difference in saving the world.
I don't know, Congressman, you and I sound like the exact same person. I like that. I like that a lot.
That's about as high a compliment as I can get. Zohran Mamdani does not love America. This is someone who came here 10 years ago, who does not share our values, who is very clear that he hated America when he came, and he sees his role as mayor to be part of the destruction and the change of this country. Jew hatred is just the gateway drug to societal collapse. Look how crazy the Democrats are. It may have started with the Jews, but now it's open borders, no ICE, no police, you know, birthright citizenship to everyone, give welfare to anyone who wants. They've gone insane.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the homeland. Hi, I'm Dean Cain, and welcome to The Homeland on Proud American Studios, where we discuss all things truth, justice, and the American way. Whew! We live in very interesting times. All this information flying around. We've got the internet just coming up with rumors, conspiracy theories, and we also have left-wing leaders hiding behind veiled and not-so-veiled threats with language like Nazi, Gestapo. They say things like, we got to take him out. 8647. And, you know, things like, you've released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. Threats all the way. Let's call it what it is. It's the resurgence of political terrorism. Now, we've already had three attempts on President Trump's life. We have radical Antifa and violent Marxist and communist groups preaching violent revolution, screaming what I would say are idiotic phrases like Free Palestine and Intifada Revolution. And they really have no idea what they're saying. And even if they do know what they're saying, that honestly, that's more dangerous. It's treasonous. Terroristic. We have DSA candidates winning races and trying to openly destroy this republic from the inside. Well, I got news for you folks. Study history, okay? Socialism sucks. Capitalism and free markets and the Constitution are why this nation is the greatest in history. We also have just a whole giant group of paid, organized protesters attacking our law enforcement officers, denigrating and attacking and threatening police officers, Border Patrol, ICE officers, of which I am proudly an ICE officer. They're provoking violent confrontations so they can justify violence in response. It's horrible stuff. Left-wing radical politicians screaming, defund ICE, calling us Gestapo, poorly trained. We are not poorly trained at ICE. And they're doxing officers and their families, including recently retired ICE director Todd Lyons and his family. Now, we had Director Lyons on this show. He is a patriot. I have trained with him. He is a patriot through and through. And doxing him and his family and threatening them and trying to coerce them is disgusting. It should not be allowed. We have politicians actually running on things like defund ICE, and in some cases, actually winning races. Mayor Mamdani in New York City, that's going to be a test case. Good luck, New York City. Caveat emptor, you know, buyer beware. You voted him in, and rent prices are already higher than they've ever been. They're skyrocketing. There's going to be so much trouble in New York City. I hope people learn from this, because socialism, again, socialism sucks. Now, this whole thing has been happening for a while. This political terrorism has been happening for a while now. Occupy Wall Street, the Summer of Love, which was anything but, the CHAZ, autonomous zones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all anarchy. It's envy. It's class warfare. And it's Marxism. It's designed to break down this great republic from the inside and from the outside. And we have been letting it happen. To quote Will Ferrell as Mugatu in Zoolander, doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Obviously, I didn't do as good a job as Will Ferrell did on that, but it is. It's crazy. And has anybody noticed it? Well, yes, somebody noticed. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the best Secretary of State in my lifetime, and that's my opinion, he just gave an incredible speech that lays it all out and signals that this administration is going to take this on once and for all. Rubio clearly stated that violent far-left political terrorism can no longer be denied. It's the stuff that you and I sit at home and go, what's going on? Why hasn't someone addressed this or dealt with it? Well, it starts at the top. Thank you, President Trump. Thank you, Secretary Rubio, Secretary Bessent, Secretary Hegseth, FBI Director Kash Patel, Stephen Miller. Thank you. Thank you all for your bravery. Thank you for calling it out and standing up for this great nation. Now, no, we are not perfect. We are not a perfect nation, but we are always striving for a more perfect union, and that's what makes us unique. We have organized groups from both the inside and the outside and outside our nation who want to take down this great republic. Financiers like Neville Roy Singham out of Shanghai, George Soros and his Dr. Evil son. But we have a nation of patriots. And finally, an administration that will not let this happen. Secretary Rubio put the entire world on notice against the rise of poisonous far-left terror masked as equality, succinct and perfect. I love those words. Secretary Bessent and Stephen Miller will address terrorist financing and critical infrastructure at the summit that's going on right now. And I, for one, am here for it. Rubio described radical leftism as a poisonous resentment cloaked in the language of equality and justice. Boom. That's perfect. He hit the nail on the head. It's envy. You know, I want what the wealthy have, but I want it for free. I want to be as rich as Elon Musk, but I don't want to do the work. Well, that's not how it works in the United States or anywhere in the world, really, for that matter. Rubio also said that today we face a new wave of this old evil here in the United States. The share of left-wing terrorist attacks and plots has risen to levels not seen in decades. Secretary Rubio also said that far-left extremist networks coordinate across borders by sharing training materials, encrypted communications, financing, and safe houses while working alongside hostile foreign states. There are outside people who don't like the United States that want to bring it down from the inside. They can't do it from the outside, but they'll try to bring us down from the inside. To quote Rubio again, it is time to crush this evil forever. It's time for the people of the civilized world to defend themselves. And Secretary Rubio is dead right. You will no doubt, according to Secretary Rubio, see the dogma rear its head in the coverage of this very conference. We will hear that this kind of organized violence and terror will be dismissed. It will be dismissed as partisan fiction. Well, it is not partisan, and it is not fiction. It's real. Rubio says that a whole industry grew up in our countries around the study of extremism, with the unspoken understanding among them that only one kind of political violence was a true threat to the system. Well, this political violence is a threat to the system, and I'm so happy that they are taking it on. Administration officials made it clear that this effort is narrowly focused on criminal and terrorist violence rather than political beliefs. We have free speech in this country. We fight and die for it. So a senior State Department official told reporters this. This isn't about people's beliefs and ideologies. In America, you can believe anything you want. The minute that you cross the line and that legal threshold, that changes. It's about time. God bless America. Joining us today on The Homeland is Republican Congressman Randy Fine from Florida. Mr. Congressman, welcome. We're very happy to have you here.
I'm honored to be here.
It's a pleasure. So you've been called a lot of things, and I've been called a lot of things. You've been called a firebrand. You've been called, I love this one, the Hebrew hammer. And Tucker Carlson referred to you as that creepy fat guy from Florida who endorsed genocide. How do you respond to that? I mean, what happened to Tucker Carlson, and why is he so fixated against Israel, against President Trump? I don't understand it. I've known Tucker for a long time. I don't watch the show anymore. But why is he so fixated against Israel? What's going on?
You know, I don't know. There's lots of theories. I think one is, frankly, that he's taken so many of those nicotine patches that it screwed up his brain. But I think a lot of times when people don't reach the goals that they have for themselves, they look for someone to blame. And look, he took a huge fall from grace. I mean, he was the leading conservative intellectual in the country when he was on Fox News. He got fired. He wants someone to blame. People oftentimes blame the Jews. I don't know what the issue is, but it's very, very sad to see, because he's just devolved into some sort of stew of idiocy. About a year ago, I said he was the most dangerous anti-Semite in the United States. I don't think that's the case anymore, because I think people have now seen through him. Clearly, the president has excommunicated him from the Republican Party, and I think he's even left the Republican Party. He hates me because I'm the embodiment of what he despises, someone who's not ashamed to be Jewish, who stands with the state of Israel, who fights, who wears a yarmulke and leans into the fight and is not afraid when people throw a punch at me. And, you know, he's also mad because he'll be particularly mad about this. He's asked me to come on a show now like 40 times and I won't do it. So there, you get another thing over him. Here I am with you and I haven't gone on his, and I don't plan to. I won't legitimize it.
You know, I've been on his show a number of times in the past. I love Tucker. I thought he was great and I loved him when he was at Fox. I just don't understand the current vitriol. Let's talk genocide for a quick second here. I did a documentary about the first genocide that took place that we're aware of, about the Armenian genocide that took place in Armenia between Turkey and Armenia, and 1.5 million Armenians were murdered for being Armenian, for being Christians. Horrible genocide, and that's a real genocide. What's happening in Israel is the furthest thing from genocide that I've ever seen. Yes, there's been a war and destruction, but that's a result of attacking Israel on October 7th. What do you say to people who call this a genocide?
Well, I think it's anti-Semitic. I think they say that to actually devalue real genocide. And the number one thing that I would say is Israel had the capability to do a genocide. Oh. If Israel had wanted to kill everyone in the Gaza Strip, they probably could have done it in a matter of hours. They could have killed everyone. I'm glad they didn't. That would have been a genocide. Right. But what kills me, literally, it makes my heart hurt, is to think of thousands of Israeli soldiers who have died in order to minimize civilian casualties in Gaza, and then to disgrace their memory by accusing Israel of a genocide. It's just gross. I think Gaza is the only place in the history of the world where a genocide has happened, yet the population has actually grown. And so the whole thing is ridiculous, but you can explain it when you understand one simple fact. They just hate Jews. I mean, that's what it is, and they're using, they're reaching around trying to find an explanation for it.
It baffles my brain to understand anti-Semitism. I don't get it at all. It has never made sense to me. Growing up, my best friend was Jewish. My girlfriend was Jewish. She was lovely. Hello, Kim. But you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. And these old tropes coming up. I mean, we did this. I also did a documentary. It was an Emmy-winning documentary about the rise of anti-Semitism. But I did that 10 years ago. It's shocking that it's happening right now. It makes me ill. Now, you've been called a firebrand, and people are like, oh, you know, Congressman Fine says all these things and blah, 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 you know, and Tucker calls you names and people call you names. I looked through your history. I looked through your positions on your website, everything. I didn't find anything I disagreed with. I agree with your, like, if I was going to run for office, I think I'm going to steal from your website and say almost the exact same things. I am an ICE officer. I am a deputy sheriff. I believe in law and order. I believe in so many of the exact same things that you talk about. Maybe the thing, the reason they're calling you all these names, and this is my theory, is because, well first of all, let's go through it. You're a Harvard educated man. I'm a Princeton guy. So we have that going against us. You know, we have that little rivalry, but it's a but tremendous respect to you. You've got your undergraduate degree from Harvard, your MBA from Harvard. I mean, your credentials are stellar. You're also the kind of politician that I think we need in this country, which is somebody who has gone out and made his life, done his job in the private sector, and then started serving.
Well, you may understand this too, given where you went to school. I think liberals lionize the Ivy League. So there's often a jealousy of that. And they think that if you went to an Ivy League school, you must be a liberal. So to get the credentials that they so greatly covet, and then to be a conservative, it drives them crazy. Now, to be clear, a lot of the people I went to college with, I wouldn't hire to wash my car. And you probably feel the same. It doesn't make you any better to go to Princeton or Harvard or anything else. You were smart before you went to Princeton. I was smart before I went to Harvard. It's a great credential, and I'm honored to have it. But it doesn't make you any better of a person. And I think I just bother them because I am Ivy League educated. I'm an unapologetic Jewish guy, and I'm conservative. And I say the things that people are often afraid to say, but everyone should say. And part of the strategy of the left is to silence us by using code words, by calling us racists about everything. And I'm not afraid to say what needs to be said. I'm not a politician. And I do what I do because I'm fundamentally afraid about the future of our country and the country that my children and grandchildren. And they hate me because their tools and their toolkit don't work to silence me. That's fundamentally, I think, why they don't like me. And I wear it as a badge of honor. I'm here to fight. We're measured by our enemies. And if you're not taking flack, it means you're not over the target.
100%. I feel the exact same way. I get it in Hollywood. I get it anywhere in media. And it's surprising to me. I call it common sense. And and if you haven't traveled outside of the United States and you live in this little bubble here and you haven't seen what socialism and Marxism and communism and Islamism does to a society, you don't understand. And, you know, it's like it's shocking when you see people go, you know, gays for Palestine or gays for Gaza. Like, are you it's chickens for KFC.
Well, one of the things that I believe is liberals live in the world the way they wish it was. Conservatives live in the world the way it actually is. And I think that's part of it. And by the way, in the Ivy League culture, where guys like you and I were probably 1 or 2 or 3% of the students on our campuses, you're able to live in this bubble of self-reinforcing thought where you believe these dumb things. I think many liberals are simply dumb and they believe the nonsense that they spout because it sounds good on paper, and they refuse to look at the fact that never in the history of the world have any of these things ever worked. So I think you've got a combination of stupidity, delusion, and frankly, in many cases, evil. And so when I look at Democrats, they usually fall into one of those three categories. They're either dumb, evil. Sometimes they're just, you know, they have mental issues. And I think sometimes they just aren't actually Democrats and they pretend to be in order to move forward, because this isn't your father's Democratic Party anymore. This isn't a time where we all love America, but they want higher taxes and we want lower taxes. I serve with people who hate America. If you think Ilhan Omar, if you think Zohran Mamdani, if you think Rashida Tlaib love America, you're out of your mind. They think America is fundamentally an evil place, and it is their goal to destroy it. And so we need to fight them as aggressively as they fight us. And that's what I do, and they hate it. I often say, I didn't make the rules, but I play by theirs.
And you're beating them at it too, my friend. And God bless you for doing so. So today, Marco Rubio had a big speech talking about the rise of political terrorism. And it's happening all over the place. It's happening against our ICE agents. It's happening against people like you, people like me. It's happening left, right, and center. It's obviously they've had three attempts on President Trump's life. And that squad that you mentioned, those people are directly responsible for, and Chuck Schumer, and these guys are directly responsible for some of the rhetoric that comes out. Your rhetoric, they call you a firebrand. You're not calling for anybody to be killed. You're not calling for anybody to be have violence against them. I think you're just speaking common sense.
Yeah, and I make that clear. Look, I despise some of these people personally, but I don't want any of them to be hurt. You know, at least in America, I don't know what happens to Ilhan Omar when she's back in Somalia. But you know, but in America, everyone should be safe. And on the left, they have lionized violence. And look, I learned this in college, and maybe that's something that makes you and I different. Because when I was in school, I felt like conservatives were put on an anvil and they were beaten. And one of two things happened to you. They either beat it out of you or you emerge sharply tempered steel. So I'm used to being persecuted for my views for 30 years. And so I've seen the way in which they behave. What I learned when I was in college was liberals were the most open-minded people in the world, the most tolerant people in the world, as long as you agreed with them. The minute you didn't, you're the worst person in the world. And so I guess I have 35 years of practice with these people. And what I've learned is the best way to deal with them is to go right at them.
100%. Don't bend the knee to the outrage mob. Don't apologize. It's something that's been hard to learn because people are trying to get canceled. They've asked me to get canceled and fired off of shows, off of different things. I just had a religious group not want to work with me about saving people having kidney transplants and organ transplants because of my support for ICE. It somehow that didn't align with their values. It's a biblical value to support your borders and enforce your borders. And it's certainly enshrined in the Constitution and in what ICE and law enforcement does. That's crazy to me. Now, I've spent some time in Israel. I love Israel. I'm a huge supporter of Israel. I am a Zionist. I am unapologetic about that. 100%. How do you feel about, I love Bibi Netanyahu. I think he's done great work. You know, nobody's perfect. No government is perfect. How do you feel about how they're handling the situation in Gaza right now?
Well, I think they're doing the best that they can. Israel always has one hand tied behind its back. But I will say this, I'm not sure anyone could have saved Israel after October 7th other than Bibi Netanyahu. We have to remember, Donald Trump has been the best friend to Israel and American Jews in American history. But October 7th was October 7th, 2023. So you had the rest of 2023 and all of 2024 and the first 20 days of 2025 until Donald Trump took the reins again. And obviously he's been a huge help to Israel. But in that time where Israel was largely alone in 2024 in terms of governments, I don't know that anyone else would have had the backbone to do it. I think what Bibi has done in Israel is a miracle, as they've been attacked on 8 different fronts. Everyone talks about the 7 physical fronts, but the 8th front is the propaganda front that takes place around the world. And the hatred of Jews. And people ask me why. It's not complicated. There's only 15 million Jews in the world. There are fewer Jews in the world than there are people that live in Beijing, China. So we're always outnumbered. And that's part of what it is. And and people we've dealt with anti-Semitism for 3,000 years. It's part of being Jewish. But it will continue. But I think Bibi's done an incredible job. Look, I've often said that 3 people saved the world. Bibi Netanyahu, Donald Trump, and frankly, Elon Musk. Because I think if Elon had not bought X, I think our ability to communicate openly and freely would have ended. So I think Donald Trump in general, I think Bibi for what he's done in Israel, and I think Elon for buying X and allowing free speech to continue in this world, I think those 3 people will go down in history as having made a huge, huge difference in saving the world.
I don't know, Congressman, you and I sound like the exact same person. I like that. I like that a lot.
That's about as high a compliment as I can get.
Hey, so let's switch gears over to Iran right now. You know, you get the regular mainstream media going, oh, there's nothing been accomplished. The rules keep changing, blah, 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 blah. I don't agree with any of that. I think Secretary Hegseth has done an unbelievable job. He's another Princeton guy, but many years behind me, even behind you. But I think he's done an incredible, incredible job. Iran obviously broke the ceasefire again with broke the MOU or all those things. Vice President Vance is catching a lot of flack for going on Joe Rogan and saying that there's outside people doing things. They're trying to mischaracterize what he said. I believe that the vice president was trying to implement the MOU that President Trump wanted and was being a very good vice president. What do you think about what's happening in Iran right now? Are we doing the right thing? I think we should finish the job, no doubt about it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I want to start with a compliment to Pete Hegseth. I had the chance to go to the Pentagon for a classified briefing that I can't tell you what was said, but I got to see Secretary Hegseth and his entire executive leadership team this week. And Hegseth is amazing, but the team that he has assembled under him are truly extraordinary people who, frankly, do not need the grief that they are getting by working for the Pentagon. Incredibly successful people in the private sector. And I got one of the best presentations I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't be prouder of the leadership team we have over there. As it relates to Iran, look, you're right. We have to finish the job. Look, I applaud the vice president for trying to negotiate a peace deal. He tried. It didn't work. But the fact of the matter is it didn't work. Not because of him. It did not work because of Americans. It did not work because of criticism or did not work because of Israel. It did not work because we're dealing with people who don't share our values. We are not one giant human family. There is good and there is evil in the world. And the religious leaders who run Iran hate America because they hate our values. In their world, we would all live like they live in Afghanistan. They don't believe in freedom. They have a view of religion that we must all submit to. And when you're dealing with evil people, the only thing you can do is defeat it. We didn't try to negotiate with the Nazis in World War II. We beat them and then they surrendered. And that's what's ultimately, I believe, that's what's going to happen here.
I do too. I think it's just going to take more pounding and more pounding. I think that the only language they understand is strength. And I think that's true in a lot of that part of the world.
Now, I'll give you a great example of this in America. So some of their friends in America, there's this group called CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They claim to be the NAACP for American Muslims, but they really support terrorism. And a few years ago, they announced they were going to have a protest outside my house and they were going to block the street. So my newspaper called and they said, what would you say to these peaceful people who are going to block the street? I said, I would tell them to only be 4 wide. And they said, why? I said, because then I won't have to back up. Do you think they blocked the street in front of my house?
No, sir.
No. They stood on the sidewalk. And by the way, that's why in Florida, we passed a bill 7 years ago called the Thump Thump Act that said if you block the street in a protest, people can run you over. Do you know how many people have been run over in the 7 years? None, because people know not to do it. So the same crazy people who block the streets in New York, who block the streets in California, who block the streets in Illinois, they don't block the streets in Florida because they know what will happen to them. That's how you deal with crazy people. You let them know the rules. And that's what we do in Florida. And that's what we've got to do as a country.
The Thump Thump Act.
Great that's name. Because that's what you
brilliant.
Hear.
I mean, I tell you what, if a crowd of protesters tried to stop me from driving down the street, if I have my kid in my car, they're going to get thump thumped.
Yeah, we have filed that bill federally. So anyone who wants to tell their congressman to co-sponsor, because look, blocking roads is a form of terrorism. It keeps people from going to school. It keeps them from going to work. It may keep a pregnant woman from getting to have her baby at the hospital. It's perfectly, you want to protest, stand on the sidewalk. But why do you need to block a road in order to have a protest? It's not acceptable. And I'm not trying to keep people from protesting, but keep it out of the street.
It's political terrorism. It's what Secretary Rubio was talking about today. It's intimidation. It's political terrorism. And it's dead wrong. And I think we should make the Thump Thump Act a federal law. I think that's fantastic. We have an avowed Marxist running the largest city in the United States in Mayor Mamdani in New York. I said it's a test case. I think we're going to see, you know, the rents are already as high as they can be. There's homeless all over the place. There's all kinds of stuff taking place. It's a test case. What are your thoughts on Mamdani in New York? I mean, obviously, Florida has a large Jewish population, but so does New York. New York City, I think, has the highest diaspora of Jewish people in the country. What's going to happen to them? What do you think of his thought, what he's doing there? And will it take some crazy, awful act to get people to wake up over there? What's going to happen?
Well, I think what people have to look at is New York is a disaster, and that's the goal. That's not an unintended consequence. Zoran Mamdani does not love America. This is someone who came here 10 years ago, who does not share our values, who is very clear that he hated America when he came, and he sees his role as mayor to be part of the destruction and the change of this country. So the troubles of New York are by design. They want to hurt the country. Look, immigration to America used to be people who loved America, loved our values, wanted to add value, didn't want welfare. Now it's people who hate America, want to change America, demand we change how we live, and how much free stuff can they get? Look, Jews from New York are moving to Florida, and it's a great thing for Florida. Florida's booming, but it's a terrible thing for America because the city of New York is going to end up being hollowed out, and it will ultimately collapse. And when that happens, they're going to show up with their hand out for the rest of us to bail them out. What's happening in New York is terrible. I think Zoran Mamdani lied to get his citizenship. I think he should be investigated. I think it should be revoked. And I think he should be sent back to Uganda. And I've said that many, many times.
You know, they're gonna say that's, you know, you're going after your political enemies and so on and so forth. I don't see it that way. I see it as exactly as you're describing it.
Yeah, I think we need to go back over the last 30 years. I think it is clear that our immigration system, I often wonder, did the left flood the border with illegal immigrants to distract us from the flood of legal immigrants that they were sending in? People who were coming here not to become part of the American dream, but to change the American dream. And you know, I don't see these people who are coming. They don't want to integrate. They don't want to learn English. You know, I put out a statistic today, 9% of Americans don't speak English now. How do we function as a society if we can't all speak the same language? And so I'm very, very troubled by Mamdani and the people that he has inspired. Look at the people that Democrats are electing to Congress. A woman who said she wants to wipe her dirty hands on the American flag. They almost nominated a guy with a Nazi tattoo on his chest in Maine. They almost nominated someone in Texas who wanted to put all American Jews in concentration camps. They're putting up a person in California who won't say the Pledge of Allegiance. She's an elected city councilwoman now, and she won't say the Pledge of Allegiance. If you won't pledge allegiance to the United States of America, why do you want to be in Congress? There's an easy explanation, because you want to destroy the country. And so we have a lot to be afraid of. As bad as I thought Washington would be when I got here a year ago, it's worse. And I'm very, very fearful about our future.
Yeah, you've been in Congress for a year now. How's that feel? I mean, it's got to be, you obviously served in Florida for a long time. So you're familiar with politics, but what's it like stepping into Washington? I always wonder what that must feel like as a congressman, a new congressman, especially in this time where all this madness is going on.
Well, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. You're away from your family a lot. The scrutiny is much greater. When I walk to the floor, there's usually 200 or 300 sort of media vultures all hovering around, waiting to ask you something, usually a gotcha question. The criticism, the stakes are much higher. And in Florida, we have overwhelming Republican majorities. We're sort of playing with the House's money. Everything is going great. Where here, half the people I serve with, a meaningful percentage of that half, hate America. I mean, yesterday we had a vote to defund Israel. A majority of Democrats were like, we don't care what happens to Israel. Cut them off. Don't fund the Iron Dome, which they use to protect themselves from terrorist rockets. I mean, it's bad. And the celebration of lunacy over there, we should all be very concerned. Our side has to be scared of what they will do to our country. And frankly, I think we've forgotten. I don't know about you, but I thought if Kamala Harris had won, I didn't know that America could survive another 4 years. I mean, we were going down the tubes real fast under Joe Biden. And I thought another 4 years of this, and I don't know that we'll make it. Well, make no mistake, Democrats have gotten worse in the last 2 years, not better. And we can't allow them to win, because if we do, God help us all.
I agree 100%. Now you're in Congress, so every 2 years you're up for reelection. How much fun that's got to be to always be dealing with that. And you're someone who's going to challenge you is, I think, Dan Bilzerian. He's running against you. He has said some not so nice things about you, but he's a bit of a wild card, to put it mildly. How is that race looking?
I think we'll be fine. I mean, look, he's kind of a weird guy, this sort of short little guy from Armenia. I thought it was a little bit bizarre. He ran against me saying, like, I'm a dual citizen. I have loyalty to another country. I'm not a citizen of Israel. I'd never even been to Israel till I was in my 30s. I'm only a citizen of America. It turned out, like, he's a citizen of Armenia and was in their military and is a citizen of other countries. So, you know, look, I don't think foreigners should be in politics. I actually introduced a bill 6 months ago to ban all dual citizens from being in Congress. I think if you're a citizen of another country, you shouldn't be allowed to be in Congress. And I think we'll be fine. I mean, this is a guy who said, you know, Donald Trump was a terrible person who should be impeached. I mean, that's not someone who's going to win a Republican primary in Florida.
No, so I don't think so. Certainly not in Florida. Not in Florida at all. And
maybe if he was running for mayor of San Francisco or something, he'd be fine. But not a Republican primary in Florida.
No, I don't think so at all. Now, let's go back to Israel for a second, because I have to ask you about this. I mean, I know my feelings on it. Ro Khanna decided to go to Israel and try to create a Jesse Smollett sort of situation. Listen, I've crossed the border in Israel and Jordan. I have been in Israel. I love Israel. I think it's fantastic. I'm a deputy sheriff. Seeing people with firearms doesn't in any way, shape, or form make me feel uncomfortable in the least. But Ro Khanna went out there, tried to paint himself as a victim, and it's just pushing that anti... He is trying to hug that anti-Semitic group and say, I don't like Israel, so I'm going to... You're going to vote for me. I mean, it's a Jesse Smollett complete hoax. It's ridiculous. And he broke the rules, didn't talk. Ambassador Huckabee called him out on it. Everybody else called him out on it. He's trying to run and be popular based on his hate for Israel and that he was some sort of a victim, which he clearly was not.
No, look, he went in a place where if you go, you should let the U.S. Embassy, Israel and the United States would have coordinated his trip. He wanted an incident. The incident itself seemed pretty minor. I mean, in Israel in July, I don't know when you've been, but Israel in July is like being in and you're like baking in the heat. But in his, you know, international incident, the guy's wearing a suit and tie, all pressed and firm. It was like the most non-disruptive incident ever. But here's what's most disturbing about it is the Democratic Party has become a mainstream Jew-hating party. And I don't know that Ro Khanna even believes this stuff. I think Ro Khanna is looking to market himself as a product, and he believes this is a winning strategy in the Democratic Party. That's what should bother people, that the Democratic Party is so consumed with Jew hatred that this would work. And I would say two things. Jew hatred is just the gateway drug to societal collapse. You're a student of history, as am I. Every society that has embraced anti-Semitism has ultimately collapsed. And by the way, look how crazy the Democrats are. It may have started with the Jews, but now it's open borders, no ICE, no police, you know, birthright citizenship to everyone, give welfare to anyone who wants. They've gone insane. And that's why I fight so hard on our side. I don't want these green shoots of lunacy to come to the Republican Party, because if they do to the Republican Party what they've done to the Democratic Party, America will be done. Look, when you and I were in Ivy League schools, We probably thought the liberals were crazy. But as a Jewish person, I never felt unsafe at Harvard. I never thought they were anti-Semitic. That's happened over 30 or 40 years because when the lunatics showed up, they didn't deal with them. They said, ignore them. They're the fringe. They'll go away. I'm not willing to do that in the Republican Party. I'll fight these people every single day. Unfortunately, President Trump is doing that as well.
Yeah, thank God. I thank God for him every single
day.
Now, the rise of Islamism here in the United States is terrifying. It's a terrifying thing. Now, this isn't saying, I'm not saying that people who are, I have a lot of great friends who are Muslims, and that's wonderful. But the rise of Islamism, trying to change, there was a DSA phone call or whatever that was, a Zoom that went out the other day where they're talking about, we need to get rid of the Senate. We have to change this fundamentally, get rid of the presidency and so on and so forth. Is that not treasonous? Is that not against the Constitution? These people are not trying to assimilate in any way, shape, or form. They want to fundamentally change and break down and get rid of the United States of America.
They do. And look, that's part of their faith. It's to conquer. Look, not all Muslims are bad people.
No.
But many aren't. And you point that out. But the problem is many are. And I'm going to give you a statistic that just came out this week. 44% of American Muslims said they support Hamas. 44%. Now think about that. Those were the 44% who weren't smart enough to say, I probably shouldn't say that. So the number is much higher than 44%. There were people who didn't tell the truth. I don't think it's 100%, but it's clearly over 50%. So we need to stop saying that this is a fringe movement. And I would point it this way. When your most well-known Muslim politicians are Zohran Mamdani, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, when your NAACP is CARE, which clearly supports Muslim terror, you have to say that there is a widespread problem. It's not a 0.1% issue. I often say we got it wrong. The radical Muslims are the ones who don't want to kill us. It's the mainstream that does. And part of the issue is this. In Judaism and Christianity, we believe we can practice our own religion in peace, prosperity, and privacy. But in mainstream Islam, they believe that in order for them to practice their religion, you have to practice their religion, or you at least have to submit to their religion. And that's fundamentally in conflict with the United States. So that's the worry that I have. If people want to come here and live as part of our great melting pot, that's fantastic. But don't tell me I have to change how I live because of how you live. That's not how America works.
I agree with you 1,000%, my friend. And also, you did introduce a bill to label CARE as a terrorist organization. Bless you.
Because they are.
They are. I agree with
you.
They
are.
Wholeheartedly.
You know, and by the way, you wonder how crazy they are? There were some kids in Texas who were arrested for vandalizing a church. They were Muslim kids who were arrested for vandalizing a church. And CARE argued that they had a First Amendment right to vandalize that church because that's what their religion required. That should scare us all. I mean, I dealt with this when I dealt with these issues with dogs, when one of Zohran Mamdani's key advisors said, finally, Islam is coming to New York. Dogs are haram, which means they're forbidden in Islam. Therefore, they must be given up as indoor pets. Look, if they don't want to own dogs, that's fine. But dogs are about as American as apple pie and motherhood. We love our dogs. If you don't want to have a dog, leave and go home. But in America, we keep them. That's the real risk, the requirement that we submit to their religion. And that's the issue that I have every day. And I will tell you, one of the top issues that my constituents tell me they are worried about is the rise of mainstream Islam in the United States.
Congressman Randy Fine, God bless you, my friend. It's such a pleasure speaking to you. I know you got to take off right now. Tremendous respect. Keep being a firebrand. Don't worry what Tucker calls you. I've been called all kinds of names and the least favorite Superman of all. But I do stand 100%, like I believe you do, for truth, justice, and the American way.
Well, let me say this. I've been doing this job for a little bit over a year, and what we've just done over the last few minutes is definitely one of the highlights of my time in Congress. So thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
God bless you, Congressman. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the homeland.